Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Soulful. This is the podcast that reveals everything you've ever wanted to know about sneakers. And it's hosted by myself, Kish Cash, and my good homie, Jason Coles. Jace, how you doing, mate? And who have we got on the show today, mate?
So today, Kish, we've got someone very special. We've got a great lady by the name of Helen Kirkham.
Oh, wicked.
Who is, yeah, she's both a designer and an artist. And what she does is pretty unique. She takes old sneakers and she recycles, reuses, and turns them into, I guess, what you can only really describe as works of art. But they're much more than that. You know, they're a real commentary, I guess, on some of the aspects we kind of don't like to talk about in sneaker culture, namely the consumerist aspect. And
absolutely,
the fact that, you know, in many ways, we're a bit behind everyone else when it comes to things like sustainability.
Absolutely. Fashion's got a lot to learn in that regard, hasn't it, really? But they're making steps to do that. And it sounds like, well, Helen's one of the advocates of that. It's brilliant.
Exactly. You know, something shocking that I've only recently learned is that the fashion industry is the third most polluting industry in the world.
Wow.
You know, yeah, behind energy and agriculture, which kind of makes you feel a little bit guilty, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we all need to do something. And what's great is that Helen's trying to do something about that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you know, it's absolutely commendable to Helen. So, okay, let's chat to Helen right now. All right, Helen, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm good. Good, thanks.
Yeah. It's just an absolute pleasure. You know, how would you describe, basically, what do you do? You know, there might be some people who are already familiar with your work. Jace knows what you do. I know what you do, but there's a load of people out there who probably don't. So yeah, what do you do? What's your deal?
Yeah, so I'm Helen Kirkham. I am a footwear designer and artist based in East London. So I have a studio here in Hackney Wick, and I specialise in making made-to-order sneakers using recycled materials. So I work with a recycling centre in London, and I collect their odd shoes that they can't use, break them down into their component pieces, and then I use them to kind of create these remastered bespoke sneakers. So all my pieces are one-off, and yeah, all my clients get sneakers that are one of a kind.
Wow. Jace, do you have a pair of Helen sneakers?
I'm afraid I don't. That's something I'm going to have to put
on the waiting list. Yeah.
But you live in Hackney. You're in Hackney, London Fields. You're doing upcycling. I mean, you are ultimate hipster woman type person.
Yeah, I think I just, I've always cared about the planet, and I've always cared about sustainability and stuff. But I, when I was studying my master's degree,
Where did you study your master's degree?
I did footwear design at the Royal College of Art.
Ooh. I've heard of that institution.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
So I graduated from there in 2016. And basically then, that was the first time I got interested in sneakers. So, and we can talk about this in a minute, but like, I'm not really a sneakerhead. I've never been like really massively into sneakers.
Interview over. Come on.
Yeah.
Power down, everyone.
She's off.
Who got Helen on?
But yeah, so I kind of came from a more traditional footwear background. I studied at Northampton. So I made like brogues and sort of dress shoes. And then when I went to RCA, I was really interested in sneakers and I wanted to try and make one, but I didn't know how. So I basically started collecting old sneakers as a way to take them apart and see how they were made. And I started realizing that no one would give me their shoes. So I'd like ask my boyfriend, you know, ask my friends, and nobody would give me their sneakers. And I realized that, like, even when our sneakers are completely battered and falling apart, there's something about them that's so important to us that we don't want to get rid of them. So that's so basically what sort of drew me to recycling centers. And then when I went there, I saw like the mass of, you know, waste, and I was like, right, this is what I'm going to use. And that's what I've been doing now for 5 years.
Brilliant. I mean, and that's kind of so important these days. I mean, everyone seems to use the word sustainability, but I kind of often wonder, do even brands really know what it means? And I think one thing that I, you know, having done a bit of homework on you, what I really love about what you do in a way is it's such a different kind of take on it. It's coming from a really different angle. And I think it's bringing people to it, and to the whole idea of kind of responsible consumerism in a way. you know, it's bringing an audience that probably usually would not come to it. You know, what first got you into that? Was there almost like a trigger point where you thought, I can make these kind of pieces of art that can kind of change people's perceptions? What was it that brought you to it?
Yeah, it was kind of exactly that, really. I was interested in sneakers. I wanted to try and make a sneaker. And then I realized as well, because of my traditional background, and I used to work at Geoffrey West. I don't know if you know Geoffrey West. It's like a British shoe company. They make amazing like winkle pickers for like rock stars and stuff. Yeah. And I used to work there, and obviously they resole shoes, and it's like a massive part of the traditional footwear industry that you take shoes, you resole them, you give them a new soul, you give them a new life, and you sort of look after them and care about them.
Yeah, you give them to the cobblers, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And you sort of, you know, you can repair them, and that's sort of within the culture of buying like expensive brogues and dress shoes, and that just didn't really exist in sneakers. And so that was one thing that really interested me, if I could kind of create something that was so obviously handmade, so obviously sort of patchworked together out of these like recycled materials, something that people recognized but also that they'd never seen before. That was like my thing that I was really interested in, always sort of, that's something that always like drives my work, I guess. But yeah, and then I just, exactly like when I started going to recycling centres and seeing all their waste, I thought, I have to use this. And I use all the odd shoes. So when people recycle their shoes, if you don't tie the laces together or like recycle them in a way where they'll stay together, obviously when the recycling centres get the donations, they get so much stuff that the shoes can get separated. And then they don't have time to be like, oh yeah, I saw that Air Max 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So a lot of shoes then end up in their odd shoe bins, which obviously they can't resell, they can't send to people in need, and they just get wasted. So basically I take the odd shoes just to make my life even harder. And I use those as my raw materials.
No, that's actually wicked. Yeah, because I did a charity initiative a couple of years ago around Air Max Day. Called Spare Max Day, and one of the things was we basically identified, myself and Mother, this creative agency, had identified the fact that so many shoes were going into landfills because of that reason, because the left foot had migrated far away from the right foot, and vice versa, and it was just like, what's going on? You couldn't donate that. So what you're doing actually is another solution to that problem, you know, which is absolutely fantastic. I think that's absolutely wicked, you know. You know what, it's going back to what you're talking about, you know, no one wants to give up their shoes. It's because of the stories attached, you know. You've got a lot of posterity, and this, you know, there's just so much emotional connection to the things that you've done in those shoes. That just means that, you know, anyone wanting to donate shoes to you, they're like, oh, it's like, you know, trying to let go of a baby almost.
Yeah, I know. And I really love that like story that's connected to, especially shoes. I think we have that with shoes more than we do with other items of clothing for some reason. Yeah. And I think it is also the physical act of like really taking you on a journey.
Yes.
And also, I don't know, like, you know, when you look at your shoes, and like, I have a pair of Sambas that have got a stain on, obviously, like the suede tee toe, and it's where I dropped like a Jaeger bomb on them when I was like for my birthday once. And then I look at those shoes, and you always
remember
that
moment.
Is
that how you party, Helen? Jaeger bombs, eh? Okay.
Come on, Kish, we've all done it. We've all got a pair of shoes like that.
Yeah, we've all done it. With you know, when I used to smoke, I remember like the ash went on my Air Max 90s, my fresh Air Max 90s I'd bought that day, and there was a nice hole in the mesh, you know, which you couldn't do anything. I've still got them to this day, actually. I can't get rid of them, you know, case point.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly it. And so, because I have also, with my made-to-order service, people can actually send me their old shoes. So it's really nice, because I have quite a lot of clients that send me exactly that, like pairs of shoes that have so many memories embedded into the materials. And then I deconstruct those, and usually they can send me, I say between 2 and 6 pairs.
Yeah.
And then they can send me them back. I break them all down to their component pieces, and then I make them this like one-off shoe, which embeds all those stories and memories into like one product that they can wear if they want. Quite a lot of time they don't wear it, they just put it on their shelf. But
it's almost like you're creating a work of art in effect, really, isn't it?
It is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What's the most interesting client you've ever had in terms of their personality, and then also maybe even the same or the separate person who gave you the most, you know, interesting shoes? And you were just like looking at them going, what do I do with these?
I think it always, it depends, because I think everybody, my favorite ones are when I get clients' shoes that are really, either really battered and like really, really well used, or where they have something on them. So sometimes quite a lot of my clients are like artists, so they might have like paint splattered on them. They might have, you know, doodles or drawings, you know, like on Converse, for example, people always are doodling all over their Converse. Yeah. So those sort of things I think so amazing, because then you have this piece of fabric and you can really, and everyone gives me free rein, which is obviously great, but it's also quite daunting sometimes. But you have this like piece of material and you can think about what pieces of their own journey that you actually want to like highlight in the shoes, which I always think is amazing. But I put so much emotion into all the made to orders that I do. So I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but I think every client's story is, you know, it's really personal to them.
That's so diplomatic of you. They're all my favorites. I don't have a particular favorite. Nope. They're all my babies.
We do get that a lot, don't we, though?
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got to be diplomatic. Yeah, but in terms of like personal clients, anyway, you know, like people that send me their own shoes, I don't think I could choose. But and also, I always find that like the one that I've done most recently, every time I do a shoe, I'm like, this is the best shoe I've ever done.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then I do another one, and I'm like, oh, this is the best shoe I've ever done.
Yeah, that's good though, because that means you're evolving. And every time that you come out with something, it's better than the previous one, and it just shows a growth, really. Which is fantastic. Has there been anything that you've like gone, oh my God, I can't believe I've just done that? Then you have to rip it apart and then redo it.
I think I don't personally get worried about it, but I know like my you know, followers and people that like my work can get really worked up if I've cut something, you know, like I cut up some off-white Nike collabs I've cut up. I also have in the studio some of the first ever, the like Yeezy Louis Vuitton. I don't even know what they're called. That's not,
are they just Jaspers?
That's how much of a non-sneakerhead I am.
Oh, you just, the whole myth has been dispelled right here, Helen. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, we're going to cut all of this out. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But no, are they the Jaspers that you have? The Louis Vuitton Jaspers?
They were some of the earliest, weren't they? They were some of the
it's
earliest
like the gray,
ones.
It's like
the Kanye one, yeah? The grey pink one.
Grey and pink, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Jasper. Don't
quote me.
I've got
one of those cut up in the studio as well.
Oh my God.
They're worth a fortune now.
Yeah. I mean, will they be worth even more after you've had your touch to it, though? That's
exactly.
Well, that's it. Do you have something in mind? Do you almost have like an end design in mind when you start on it, or does it kind of evolve as you put it together?
Yeah, it sort of evolves naturally. I kind of, I try and be, I'm quite an advocate for sort of designing through making and like that sort of spontaneous way of designing. I think especially in sneaker design, sometimes we can get really focused on those like beautiful renders and like amazing drawings, which obviously we see all over Instagram. They're absolutely amazing. But I think because my skill has never been in doing those sort of, I didn't train in industrial design or product design. I came from fashion design. So my drawings were always very sort of wild and expressive and not so technical.
Yeah.
So because of that, I've always been in that sort of mindset of just designing through playing and through making. So usually when I have shoes, I cut them all up into bits and then I don't really know how they're going to look at the end. I sort of build the shoe almost like a collage on the last. Right. So I'm really like building it as I go along.
So there's no 3D modeling. There's no none of that. It's like, you got to, you know, stick it here. Boom. Yeah. Get a bit of Pritt stick, you know, a bit of sticky tape. All right, I'll do this. You know?
Yeah. So basically in my studio, I have all these drawers with all these different components. So when I collect the sneakers from the recycling center, I clean them all and then I cut them all up into bits. And then I have sort of all these categories. So, you know, I've got like white small bits, white big bits, black small bits, black big bits, blue bits, red bits, laces, branding, like all these different categories. And then I can almost, it's like a candy shop. And when I start this, start a made to order, if it's one where I use my recycled stock, then basically I get from the customer the colors and the size and everything else. I just sort of look in the drawers and build it as I go along, really, which is it's always the best bit.
Yeah, so you've got other elements, you've got stuff that you've had left over from all the other shoes that didn't make the cut, excuse the pun, And, you know, and then you go, right, I'm going to add that to it. And it's just go, boom, it's going to go on. That's fantastic. So it just means the story just gets layers and textures on top of it.
Yeah, which is so amazing as well. And it's something I've actually started to think about recently, because now I have, you know, a good client base. So a lot of my client sneakers are actually connected to each other because, you know, they might have a piece from a shoe and then someone else has got a piece from that shoe as well, but they're in completely different silhouettes. The shoes are completely different, but they might both have like the same swoosh from an Air Force One or something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I have quite a big client base now, I have, there might be a made to order client who has a shoe in New York and there might be a client who has a shoe in Japan.
Yeah.
And so it sort of builds this map as well. And this like interconnection of people, which is just something I always love to like put in my work as well.
No, absolutely. That's have you documented your work? Have you taken photographs of every single one that you've done, you know, from the source, you know, from the donor shoe all the way through to the end?
I've started to do it more now. Now I've, you know, realized what I'm doing. I think at the start, when I first started the studio, I wasn't really sure of what I was going to do or like where this was going to take me. I just I just had this feeling that it was something that it was important for me to do. But now I'm looking at it more, you know, now I have a good client base, now I have, you know, a waiting list and I have all that sort of thing. So I have to be a bit more strict with, like you said, like documenting all my work and everything. So I'm better at it now, but a few slipped through the net at the beginning.
Hopefully, you know where they've gone and you can actually pull them back to get it. Because I think it'd be fascinating for you to do a book where you actually document everything, you know, and you've got bam, bam, bam like that, or even an exhibition and photography, you know, photographs of your work and your shoes. I think that'd be pretty amazing. And obviously, probably just some amazing of the actual examples there. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, a retrospective, a Kirkham retrospective. I think that'd be absolutely fantastic, actually.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I'd love to do that.
Very, very interesting, especially for, and if they want to emulate you, or if they want to get involved with this, because the more people that do what you do, and, you know, I think, you know, the environmental concerns are very pressing and, you know, they're the priority right now, I'd have to say, for everyone, really. I think what you do is actually brilliant, you know?
It is. One thing I absolutely love is almost the kind of the sheer what-if-ness about it. Because, you know, looking at some of the shoes you've made, you can kind of see design cues from lots of different people. So you've got shoes where you've got something that's almost like a signature Tinker Hatfield design mixed with something with someone who would never in a million years design with. So someone like, I don't know, Jacques Chassang from Adidas. So, I mean, they are properly unique. You know, it's almost like this kind of, you know, what if those two guys had ever come together and produced a shoe? Well, you know, Helen's given us what they might have just come up with.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think for me, it was always about sort of this naiveness. So making sure that I don't feel too pressured to, you know, like you were saying earlier about shoes that I cut up, you know, whether they're really hyped, whether they're really sought after, I just have to look at them as a source, as a material, and sort of showcase it like that. Because if I start getting too bogged down with like, oh, this is this brand, or this is an important colorway or material way or whatever, or a collaboration, then I won't approach the shoe with the same like free spiritedness that comes across in my work. So I think I kind of have to approach it a bit naively, really.
Maybe that, or maybe with lack of prejudice, you know, it's just like every element is equal. So let me see what will actually form into something that's very cohesive.
Definitely. And I think as well, a lot of my work, like when I look at the pieces, I sort of try and look at them devoid of branding. So I know with a lot of sneaker artists and people that work in the sneaker field, it's always about sort of celebrating specific brands. But even though my work does that, it's more, you know, I don't look at, say, Three Stripes or a swoosh or a whatever it is and think that needs to go in that specific place. Right. I look at it more as a shape.
So you haven't had any clients who've gone, look, I just want this shoe just to be all Adidas elements, or I just want it to be all New Balance elements, or anything like that?
Not private clients. That's more like, obviously, if I do like collaborations with brands and stuff like that, obviously I'm not going to start putting all different brands in their shoes.
Yeah, but
in terms of private clients, if I use my stock materials, then they get whatever I have in stock. And then if they send me their shoes, then I did have a client that sent me all blazers. So I had three pairs of blazers to work with. So obviously that was all Nike blazers basically, but that's because that's what his collection of shoes was that he wanted me to work with.
You're listening to Soulful Sneaker Stories, a Soho Radio original.
Do you look at, like, you know, contrasting of textures and materials and colour, or it really is just down to how you're feeling on the day and what you're looking at and what you think you can express?
It depends, really. So for made to order, I kind of do like a black option and a white option, and then people can say what sort of accent colours they want. But obviously, if people send me their own shoes, then I have to work with what they sent me. So sometimes if I have like a random colour combination, then I have to try and make it work together. I actually did a project for an exhibition, and it was with Swiss Sneaks. They did an exhibition in the Mudak Museum, and they commissioned me. They gave me 10 pairs of like well-known sneakers, and they commissioned me to make one sneaker basically for their poster. So that was really cool, because that was like 10 sneakers, which is a lot to put into one. And it was a lot with, you know, really iconic pieces and shapes and branding, so I had to kind of like squash everything in there. So that is quite the Frankenstein shoe. It's got so many different colors on it.
I was waiting for you to drop that in there. I wasn't gonna say it. Jace wasn't gonna say it. We were hoping he was gonna say it.
When people first started saying to me like, oh, Frankenstein, it's Frankenstein shoes, I was really like, oh god, they think. But then I was like, well, it is.
Yeah.
Well, it is a compliment,
but the thing is, exactly. But the story is a tragedy, but it's a tragedy of our prejudice as well, and what we bring to the fore, and you know, somebody who's misunderstood. So it's fantastic you do it. I mean, the thing is, there's going to be some traditional sneakerheads who are like going, Helen Kirkham, damn her lady, be gone, and there's going to be some who are going wicked, and you know, we really want, you know, people to appreciate what you do and the way that you do it, you know.
Because, definitely, and I think it's. It's really interesting working in this space, because it's sneakers, you know, they're such a collectible item, and they're such a thing that, you know, people do have a lot of opinions about, people do care a lot about. So, you know, I have to be mindful of that, but also I try and express what I'm doing in a way that it's a commentary kind of on like the situation. So, you know, I have to stick to my guns on some things.
Totally. You know what I mean?
What you do is really unique, but do you have any other designers who influence you? Are there other people out there kind of doing similar things to you who you kind of look up to?
I don't know if it's people that are doing something similar to me necessarily that I look up to. It's more, I mean, when I actually approach a design, it's, the influence is totally from the material. So it's all like the materiality of the pieces, and influenced by the shapes and the silhouettes and whatever I've collected. So that's how I approach the shoe. But of course we have like a really good network of like design community sort of crew that we all support each other. And there's Daniel Bailey that runs Concept Kicks.
Daniel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, he's always been such a good mentor to me, and like he's a very good connecting all the kind of sneaker crew. There's a few of us now. We have I don't know if you were, did you come on it, Kish, on the Clubhouse? We've got like a footwear Clubhouse group.
David Maudsley's one.
Yeah.
Yes, I was there.
I've got a feeling you were on it once.
I sort of snuck in. David asked me to contribute. You know what I mean?
So we have that group now, which is so nice, because it's a really good way of building this sort of footwear community together, and we can all sort of inspire and help each other. So yeah, I do love doing stuff like that. But in terms of the trend of deconstructed and reconstructed sort of sneakers, I think I was sort of, I mean, I once I graduated from RCA, I worked at Adidas for a year in Nuremberg, and then I left, and then I set up the studio. And one of the reasons that I decided to set up the studio was because I could see how this trend was taking off. And I could also see that, you know, specific brands were sort of like taking inspiration from what I'd done. And I thought I need to it was really difficult because, like, my work is all about, you know, it's about recycling. It's about making this social commentary. And then to see people take this, like, deconstructed aesthetic but not take any of the values
was
really hard for me. So that's when I decided, I was like, I'm going to set up a studio and I'm going to show, like, that this isn't just some idea. This is, like, this is something really tangible and something important. And that's why I decided to set up the studio,
So that was why you only worked at Adidas for a year then? Did you find, you know, this is cool, I'm learning a lot, but at the end of the day, it's not really working for me?
Yeah, exactly. So because I went straight from RCA, which was, like, so creative, so experimental, and also, you know, I created this collection that was quite that sort of something that had never been seen before. It picked up a lot of traction, a lot of attention. But that was all happening while I was working at Adidas. So I sort of felt a bit, like, separated from my work in a way. And I just thought, it kind of comes back to naivety again. I was like, while I'm still young, while I'm still new to all this, let's just give it a go. Let's set up a studio. And I kind of said to myself, I was like, I'm going to give it a year, see how it goes. If it goes well, I'll carry on. If it doesn't, I won't. Yeah, that was 4 years ago. So it's still going all right.
How have the brands reacted to your work? I mean, what kind of reactions have you had from people? You know, places like Adidas, where you mentioned, and I imagine you must get kind of polarizing views in some respects.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, I've managed to collaborate with a lot of great brands, and they've sort of seen that what I'm doing is something quite interesting, and I, you know, have a quite specific point of view. So I've managed to find some really good collaborations through that. You know, I collaborate with Adidas, I've collaborated with Reebok. Maybe it's a little bit, like, polarizing to some people, but I think the brands that do understand what I'm doing are keen to sort of get me on board and to, like, to work with me, which is nice.
That's brilliant. Yeah, if a brand came to you and going, Helen, really like the cut of your jib, we want you to sort of head up a team where we are trying to basically reevaluate our purpose and, you know, bring in some of your practices, some of your ethics, would you be like, okay, cool?
I think it depends, really. If anyone wants to contact me and ask me about that, then they can. But I found more and more recently that I do have to be careful with who I work with and who I collaborate with. I think especially, as you mentioned, Jason, earlier, about sort of sustainability being this buzzword at the moment, I have to make sure that I keep my integrity of, like, what I'm working towards, and make sure that the brands that I work with and collaborate with really believe in those values, and that we create something that heightens that idea, rather than, like I said earlier, you know, just taking the aesthetic or taking the mood and not taking anything else that goes alongside it. I have to, like, be quite forceful with that these days, which it's all a learning curve, but it's good.
But, you know, it is so important. And I quite often think that the brands, you know, they've embraced it to a point, but just not enough. I mean, I'd love to hear what you think about that. And it's great to see brands like Adidas doing the Parley shoes with, you know, ocean waste. And I know Nike have been making shoes out of recycled bottles and things.
Yeah, they've been doing the move to zero, haven't they?
Yeah. Is that enough? Do they need to be doing more? I mean, love to hear what you think.
The thing is that it's so obviously these massive brands, it's so hard for them to make big shifts. Whereas for a lot of, like, smaller brands, you know, we can sort of pivot quite quickly and easily because we're only little and we've only got small teams, you know. So it's a bit more straightforward, I guess, for me and for smaller brands. But I think we just need to keep going and, like, pushing more. And I think as a consumer, where you put your money is really important. I think sometimes we can feel as consumers that, like, we don't have enough of an impact, or, like, we're only one person. But, you know, if you choose to maybe buy a more sustainably made product over a not sustainably made one, or you choose to, I don't know, just with things like t-shirts, or you get an organic cotton rather than a normal cotton, or you just, those sort of, like, small details where you can and where you can, like, invest, it's just little things like that that make the difference, really. And I think we all have the power to make those decisions. We are moving in the right direction. It could just happen a bit quicker, really.
That's true. You know, but it's great that, you know, this awareness is happening, and there's a whole new generation of kids coming through who their primary concern is this, and they're, you know, really looking at things. There's so many vintage stores that are opening up now. You know, you've got my friend Justin, who's had What Goes Around Comes Around in Camden for years, but now you've got Duke's Cupboard, and you've got Wavy Garms, and you've got Atika in Brick Lane, and so on and so forth. It's just fantastic just seeing these young entrepreneurs, basically, and also on Depop as well. The amount of boom, definitely, boom, boom, you see them in that, it's absolutely fantastic, you know.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's absolutely brilliant.
And I think that repurposing and reusing stuff, and also using that to form your identity, is really powerful. And I think, especially within my own work, I know that obviously not everyone can potentially buy a made to order from me, but it's just as valuable to me for the sort of community that surrounds my work. When people message me and they say, you know, oh, I was going to throw my Converse away, but instead I decided to paint them or draw on them, or I cut them up, or I did something, you know, I took that decision into my own hands and I decided to put more of my identity into the product rather than just throwing it away and buying a new one. And I think for me that is so valuable, and that's such a massive success to sort of be able to inspire people to take action like that. And I also teach some, I do a sneaker sculpture workshop, which is...
Wow, we've got to get down to that, Kish.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
It's such a fun workshop, but it's basically, it's where you make sneakers out of recycled household waste. So I've just recently set up, as well as Helen Kirkham Studio Instagram, now we have a separate Instagram, which is sneaker_sculptures. So it's everybody's work, and anyone that's sort of made a sneaker sculpture within the workshop, we can like put we can collate everybody's work on there, so we can sort of celebrate everyone's designs.
Wow.
Brilliant.
It's cool. Really cool, because you get cereal boxes, you get any old waste, and I sort of teach you how to create your own design. And again, it's like, it's sort of just looking at waste in a different way, even if it's household recycling, and just also looking at design in a different way and feeling free about it, and feeling like, you know, oh yeah, I'll just chuck this on here, or I'm just going to do this. I've only got an hour, so I'm just going to do as much as I can, and that's my shoe.
Yeah,
and
I
think that sort of creativity and playfulness can sometimes get a bit lost in like sneaker design. So that's what I'm a massive advocate for, that as well. So
absolutely.
That's brilliant. Hopefully when we can do workshops in real life again, I can do some of those as well.
Yeah, no, that we look forward to that. Sign Jason and I, we're going to be there. Yeah, number one, number two. Boom, we're on that. You know what I mean? Yes, you heard it here. So you're not really a sneakerhead, but what's your favourite sneaker?
I mean, all my life I've worn Converse, really. Just like the basic, you know, Chuck Taylor, like high tops. I think I remember when I was young, and I first sort of got into Converse, and I used to always buy like lots of different colors, and I'd wear like the right and left a different color, or I would also draw all over them. So I always find that really interesting when I think back on that, like, or maybe this path has always been like destined for me, but I just didn't realize it. But another shoe, in terms of like a more hype shoe, I guess, that I always like talk about, or that I really love, is the Oswego Bunny.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I remember when they came out, that's when I was first sort of pivoting onto sneakers from more traditional footwear. And I just thought the silhouette was so unusual. The proportions are really unusual, you know, and also some of the hardware and even the way they place the text and all those sort of things on the shoe. It just felt a little bit artistic to me. And I thought that was sort of the first sneaker that spoke to me in a way that was like, oh, it doesn't have to be all brandy and stick this and that. It can be like something a bit more unusual, and I think so I always cite that one if I get forced to.
That's fair enough. That's a good answer. Have you ever been approached to actually design a shoe from scratch without your elements and stuff, and go, Helen, we want you to do you, but without doing you, but we want you to do you, which actually makes no sense whatsoever, but you know, I think you get my point.
Kind of. I mean, with my brand collaboration, so for example, with the Adidas Campus, obviously the campus was like the model that Adidas wanted us to focus on. But apart from it having to be a campus, like anything else was sort of up to us. So that was a really cool project where I could, I guess, sort of get my my point of view and like my design aesthetic across in a very small, I think there was 333 pairs of those, so it was pretty limited.
Don't I know it. I'm not bitter, Helen.
I think there is still someone stock. Sometimes I see them pop up on StockX, so
yeah, but StockX is like, here, have my right kidney, here you go, do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So yeah, what about actually designing your own silhouette though, your own model, you know, coming out, this is the Kirkham, this is Air Kirkham or something like that, or the Kirkham Special or something like that.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be something that I'd be interested to do. Yeah, I'll just have to wait, I guess, for the right person.
Well, now that you've been on this podcast, yeah, the doors are all open for you. You know,
yeah. Who knows?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Someone like Gary Aspin might be listening.
Yes. That's what I mean. So where are you taking everything now then? So you've set up the studio, you're mentoring people. Are you going to be like going, you know, around the world once things, conditions allow, and, you know, go, hey, this is the Kirkham method. And then break it down. Do you know what I mean? You've got to follow these points and then you can become a Kirkham like me or something silly like that.
Well, I mean, that would be great. I think I love teaching people. I love working with people and definitely like giving back to the community, you know, whether it's through workshops, whether it's through, you know, larger scale projects. So definitely interested in that. And I think that was sort of the trajectory until obviously COVID like put a little bit of a spanner in the works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, it's just about continuing to push the needle a little bit in terms of what sustainable products can be, what they can look like. Yeah. That work is something that's ongoing. And then also working more in the artistic sphere as well. For me, I'm getting more projects at the moment that are branching out a little bit from sneakers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of see myself as an artist that works with sneakers mm-hmm. to create products. So we'll have to see where those go, really. But
oh, wow.
Are you going to do bags? You're going to do some jackets?
Maybe, yeah. Pants. There's a few things on the horizon. I don't know if pants would be
trousers.
The best thing to make.
Cargos.
Oh, trousers.
Yeah, not boxers. Well, you might do an interesting, you know, lingerie. I don't know. But no, I was doing the Americanism of pants for our American listeners. So they go, you know, they know what we're referring to. Do you know what I mean? But yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely some other apparel and also maybe something different, some furniture, some bigger products, also some sculptural things. So just sort of branching out a little bit into those fields as well, which feels really good.
Excellent. So you're going to kind of go Daniel Arsham-esque.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about Daniel Arsham and the way that he sort of structures his studio the other day. And I was thinking, that's quite a nice business model for me. So maybe I'll aim for that.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I think Converse should give you a bit of a collab then after that little plug. You know what I mean?
I would love to work with Converse. I would
amazing.
Love to. They've been like my childhood shoe. And I think I could do something so good.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, absolutely. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to do the book, you've got to do the tour, you've got to do the Kirkham University where you're the headmistress and everyone's got to do your way. And then you've got to do the sculptures. Oh, it's quite a lot for you to get involved with. You know what I mean?
Got quite a lot going on. Yeah, it's good though. It's all exciting. And I think it's just building this like bigger message around, you know, sort of some of the issues and just having fun with it as well. And I think putting like a playful energy and like a creative energy back into what sneakers can be and making it more inclusive as well. I know that especially for a lot of like female sneakerheads and sneaker designers as well, that I know that it's important to sort of show up in this space and be a bit of a role model. So that's also something that I take seriously. And it's exciting to be sort of the pioneer of this movement and see where it goes.
It must be. I mean, so much of the talk around sustainability and recycling, I think people always kind of think of it in terms of what they're having to give up.
Yeah.
But it's like listening to you today, it's almost as much what you can gain and what you can learn.
Yeah, I think it's just changing a little bit the mindset or the way that you think about products, because there's nothing wrong with buying something new. And I think this is always really important as well. But it's more about how you treat your products or how you care about the things as well. I think caring for your sneakers or your whatever the products are, looking after them, making sure I'm just such an advocate of wearing. I love wearing shoes. Yeah. And I know especially sneakerheads sometimes just like to have everything on the shelf.
It depends. I mean, you know, it comes down to, you know, secondary market value. So the thing is, I buy everything to wear. And if I haven't got around to wearing it and suddenly it's worth X amount of money, I'm going to keep that over there on the shelf because it might be my, you know, future child's college fund or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what it comes down to, really.
But Kish, you're good in a way, because there's a lot of shoes that, you know, hit the shelves, which immediately a lot of people, they put them in a cupboard, like you say, just for investment. But a lot of your shoes, I mean, they're straight on the foot, which I think is great. And it's like Helen was saying, you know, we've become such a consumer focused society, you know, we put such value into these things when really you know, they were made to be worn, and so we should be wearing them.
Yeah.
And when, you know, and when they are worn out, yeah, let's do what Helen's doing, you know, let's repurpose
them. Give them to me,
let's
and I'll cut them all up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How long have we got to wait, Helen? If we want a pair of your shoes, are we looking like 2030? Are we, you know, can you squeeze us in or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not too bad. At the moment, I think the waiting list goes to about September. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, once you're on the list, then I can fit you in. But...
We better put you in the list now, because after this, obviously, it's going to be, you know, 2025 before we can get on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do we get on the list? How do people get, you know, get in touch? You know, they go, Helen, I have these shoes. I want you to do your magic on them. And you look at them and go, oh my God, this is impossible. I'll do my best.
Yeah. So, I mean, you follow me on Instagram, Helen Kirkham Studio, and, you know, TikTok, wherever else, Helen Kirkham Studio. And then also...
You're on TikTok?
Yeah, just a couple of videos. You know, it's nothing that... it's all still a bit new, but I've been putting a few making videos and stuff on there. So you can find me on there. Then I also have a newsletter called The Sneak Peek. So if you sign up to The Sneak Peek, then you get all the priority release information, collaboration information, behind the scenes on the studio, anything like that. So you can sign up via my website, which is helenkirkham.com. And there you can also... contact me for made to order as well.
Wicked.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
That is what is up, people. Well, get to Helen and she'll make you... No, actually, don't get to Helen, because we Jason and I have still got to make some shoes. Once we've done ours, then you guys is good. All right? Like that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, that's wicked. Absolutely wicked. Oh, one thing I forgot to ask, by the way, is it just you who does it, or do you have a little team that you can delegate and go, yo, can you stick this on that and just do that?
Well, at the moment, it's just me and my assistant, Matthew. So it's just two of us, but we are actually looking to get some interns as soon as we can get the, you know, all the COVID precautions and everything sort of lifted. So we are looking, we'll be looking soon for some interns, but then... Otherwise, yeah, I make the made-to-order from scratch myself, so I do absolutely everything. But as we sort of move forward and grow, hoping to build the team a little bit and...
So you want some Oompa Loompas?
I think just some... it would be great to get some sort of footwear technicians as well in that we can all work together on
footwear technicians. Great, but Oompa Loompas sounds better. But yeah, okay, you go with it, all right?
Well, thanks so much, Helen. I mean, it's been so much fun talking to you. I mean, I think both of us have learned a lot. You know, what you do is just so different. It's so unique. You know, I think you're really waking up brands and not just the brands, but actually, you know, us. In some ways, we have to change our behaviour as much as the brands do. So, yeah, totally. It's been fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it's all about just spreading, you know, like a positive message, and just we can all do the best that we can. And there's so many different ways as well, creative ways that we can approach, like how we can do our bit to help. So I think that's why I try and spread the message and, you know, make some cool shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's about. Yeah,
that's totally. It. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what we're after at the end of the day. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, so nice to chat to you.
Yes, likewise. We'll come find you in Hackney Wick, Trendyville area of East London.
Definitely.
You should wear some Converse and selvedge denim.
Yeah.
I have both.
Perfect.
Take care.
Take care. Bye. Mate, I'm absolutely astounded, Jay. Seriously. I mean, what a fantastic... I mean, you know, Helen's personality just shone through. But just her, you know, generous and very genuine self as well, and what she's trying to do, and what not trying to do, what she is doing, I should say, and the fact that she's mentoring so many other people as well, and she's got this, you know, the studio there to help bolster and you know, inform and nurture brand new talent is absolutely fantastic. And you know, hats off to her, because the thing is, if she's going to be pioneering that fashion, because eco fashion just generally has those prejudices attached to it where everything looks really pretty poor, you know, aesthetically, whereas what she's doing, you know, and what you said and, you know, brought through was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing. You know, these pieces of art that she's making are really kind of prodding and provoking both brands and sneakerheads, you know, the people that buy these products, to just think differently about, you know, what we're buying, you know, what we all need to do in a way to kind of clean this place up, because you know, ultimately the power does rest with us. It's what we buy, you know, the brands will always respond to what we want to buy. So if we choose sneakers and clothing that have a low or even a negligible effect on the environment, the brands will give us those things. So, yeah. You know, we have to vote with the cash in our pockets, basically.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another thing we've got to do, we've got to make sure we get our names down on the waiting list, dude.
Oh, God, yeah.
Not missing out on this, man.
I can't wait to get down to Helen's studio just to see the magic that happens down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's brilliant.
So sadly, that's it for another episode. Thanks to all of you for listening as usual. Please do remember to send your comments and questions to us on Twitter or Instagram on @soulful_podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And, you know, if you liked us, we do like to have a nice review from time to time. Always gives us a bit of encouragement.
This has been a Soho Radio Originals production. See you next time.